Chapter 74. Sam intimated by a nod that he recollected the problem alluded to by his parent. So you've all subscribed to the flannel vestments? Said Sam, after another interval of smoking. Certainly not, replied Mr. Weller. What's the good o' flannel vestments to the young niggers abroad? But I'll tell you what it is, Sammy, said Mr. Weller, lowering his voice, and bending across the fireplace. I'd come down worry handsome towards straight vestments for some people at home. As Mr. Weller said this, he slowly recovered his former position, and winked at his firstborn, in a profound manner. It certainly seems a queer start to send out pocket handkerchers to people as don't know the use on them, observed Sam. They're always a doin' some gammon of that sort, Sammy, replied his father. T'other Sunday I was walking up the road, when who should I see, a standin' at a chapel door, with a blue soup plate in her hand, but your mother-in-law. I worly believe there was change for a couple o' sovereigns in it then, Sammy, all in halfpence. And as the people come out, they rattled the pennies in it, till you'd ha thought that no mortal plate as ever was baked, could ha stood the wear and tear. What do you think it was all for? For another tea drinking, perhaps, said Sam. Not a bit on it, replied the father. For the shepherd's water rate, Sammy. The shepherd's water rate. Said Sam. Replied Mr. Weller, there was three quarters owing, and the shepherd hadn't paid a farden. Naughty perhaps it might be on account that the water weren't o much use to him, for it's worry little o that tap he drinks, Sammy, worry. He knows a trick worth a good half dozen of that, he does. Howsever, it weren't paid, and so they cuts the water off. Down goes the shepherd to chapel, gives out as he's a persecuted saint, and says he hopes the heart of the turncock has cut the water off, LLB softened, and turned in the right way, but he rather thinks he's booked for something uncomfortable. Upon this, the women calls a meeting, sings a hymn, votes your mother-in-law into the chair, volunteers a collection next Sunday, and hands it all over to the shepherd. And if he ain't got enough out on him, Sammy, to make him free of the water company for life, said Mr. Weller, in conclusion, I'm one Dutchman, and you're another, and that's all about it. Mr. Weller smoked for some minutes in silence, and then resumed, the worst o' these here shepherds is, my boy, that they regularly turns the heads of all the young ladies, about here. Lord bless their little hearts, they thinks it's all right, and don't know no better, but they're the victims o' gammon, Samivel, they're the victims o' gammon. I suppose they are, said Sam. Nothin' else, said Mr. Weller, shaking his head gravely, and what aggravates me, Samivel, is to see 'em a-wastin' all their time and labor in making clothes for copper-colored people as don't want 'em, and taking no notice of flesh-colored Christians as do. If I'd my way, Samivel, I'd just stick some o' these here lazy shepherds behind a heavy wheelbarrow, and run 'em up and down a 14-inch wide plank all day. That 'ud shake the nonsense out of 'em, if anything would. Mr. Weller, having delivered this gentle recipe with strong emphasis, eked out by a variety of nods and contortions of the eye, emptied his glass at a draught, and knocked the ashes out of his pipe, with native dignity. He was engaged in this operation, when a shrill voice was heard in the passage. Here's your dear relation, Sammy, said Mr. Weller, and Mrs. W. hurried into the room. Oh, you've come back, have you? Said Mrs. Weller. Yes, my dear, replied Mr. Weller, filling a fresh pipe. Has Mr. Stiggins been back? Said Mrs. Weller. No, my dear, he hasn't, replied Mr. Weller, lighting the pipe by the ingenious process of holding to the bowl thereof, between the tongs, a red-hot coal from the adjacent fire. And what's more, my dear, I shall manage to serve with it, if he don't come back at all. apostrophe, ugh, you wretch. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Weller. Thank ye, my love, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller. Come, come, father, apostrophe, said Sam. No, no, these little lovin's afore strangers. Here's the reverend gentleman coming in now. Apostrophe at this announcement, Mrs. Weller hastily wiped off the tears which she had just begun to force on, and Mr. W. drew his chair sullenly into the chimney corner. Mr. Stiggins was easily prevailed on to take another glass of the hot pineapple rum and water, and a second, and a third, and then to refresh himself with a slight supper, previous to beginning again. He sat on the same side as Mr. Weller, Sr., and every time he could contrive to do so, unseen by his wife, that gentleman indicated to his son the hidden emotions of his bosom, by shaking his fist over the deputy shepherd's head, a process which afforded his son the most unmingled delight and satisfaction, the more especially as Mr. Stiggins went on, quietly drinking the hot pineapple rum and water, wholly unconscious of what was going forward. The major part of the conversation was confined to Mrs. Weller and the Reverend Mr. Stiggins, and the topics principally descanted on were the virtues of the shepherd, the worthiness of his flock, and the high crimes and misdemeanors of everybody beside dissertations which the elder Mr. Weller occasionally interrupted by half-suppressed references to a gentleman of the name of Walker, and other running commentaries of the same kind. At length Mr. Stiggins, with several most indubitable symptoms of having quite as much pineapple rum and water about him as he could comfortably accommodate, took his hat and his leave, and Sam was, immediately afterwards, shown to bed by his father. The respectable old gentleman wrung his hand fervently, and seemed disposed to address some observation to his son. But on Mrs. Weller advancing towards him, he appeared to relinquish that intention, and abruptly bade him good night. Sam was up bedhams next day, and having partaken of a hasty breakfast, prepared to return to London. He had scarcely set foot without the house, when his father stood before him. "Goin', Sammy?" apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Weller. "Off at once," apostrophe replied Sam. "I wish you could muffle that ear, Stiggins, and take him with you," apostrophe said Mr. Weller. "I am ashamed on you," apostrophe apostrophe said Sam reproachfully. "What do you let him show his red nose in the Marquis O'Granby at all, for?" Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Weller the elder fixed on his son an earnest look, and replied, "Cause I'm a married man, Samivel, cause I'm a married man." "When you're a married man, Samivel, you'll understand a good many things as you don't understand now, but whether it's worth, while going through so much, to learn so little, as the charity boy said when he got to the end of the alphabet, is a matter o' taste. I rather think it isn't." Apostrophe well, apostrophe said Sam, "goodbye." Apostrophe, tar, tar, Sammy, apostrophe replied his father. "I've only got to say this here," apostrophe said Sam, stopping short, "that if I was the propriator o' the Marquis O'Granby, and that ere Stiggins came and made toast in my bar, I'd apostrophe, what?" Apostrophe apostrophe interposed Mr. Weller, with great anxiety. "What?" Apostrophe, "pison his rum and water," apostrophe said Sam. "No." Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Weller, shaking his son eagerly by the hand, "would you Raleigh, Sammy, would you though?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "I would," apostrophe said Sam. "I wouldn't be too hard upon him at first. I'd drop him in the water butt, and put the lid on, and if I found he was insensible to kindness, I'd try the other persuasion." Apostrophe, the elder Mr. Weller bestowed a look of deep, unspeakable admiration on his son, and, having once more grasped his hand, walked slowly away, revolving in his mind the numerous reflections to which his advice had given rise. Sam looked after him, until he turned a corner of the road, and then set forward on his walk to London. He meditated at first, on the probable consequences of his own advice, and the likelihood of his father's adopting it. He dismissed the subject from his mind, however, with the consolatory reflection that time alone would show, and this is the reflection we would impress upon the reader. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.